Many years ago, Airman Jones was assigned to the induction center where he advised new recruits about their government benefits, especially their GI insurance. It wasn't long before Captain Smith noticed that Airman Jones had almost a 100% record for insurance sales, which had never happened before. Rather than ask about this, the captain stood in the back of the room and listened to Jones' sales pitch. Jones explained the basics of the GI insurance to the new recruits, and then he said, "If you have GI insurance and go into battle and are killed, the government has to pay $200,000 to your beneficiaries. If you don't have GI insurance and you go into battle and get killed, the government only has to pay a maximum of $6,000. Now," he concluded, "which bunch do you think they are going to send into battle first?" "I've no idea what's offered these days to those enlisting in our all-volunteer force. Whatever, it's not enough, because last year quotas for newer recruits were 25% below minimum targets. It seems our current regime's DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion requirements are screening out too many prospects because they're too white, wealthy, and privileged. Because of all that CRT, critical race theory, infecting nearly all our educational system, exposing the fraud that our country was never founded for liberty for all, but rather to perpetuate slavery, because, as we all know, some races are simply inferior and their life is to serve their superiors. Because of our inherent racism, we must do the only right thing and make our armed forces accurately reflect the whole population of this racist nation that we're all working so hard to make more equal, inclusive, and welcoming of all peoples who've here taken refuge. Also, to support the tireless, sacrificial efforts of the world's great leaders trying to save humanity and the planet from utter ruin and extinction. Despite these lofty goals, our armed forces have fallen short of needed numbers of people to help usher in this promised utopia and stave off the certain coming catastrophic calamity if we don't eliminate carbon emissions and make all abhorrent behaviors acceptable and commendable, eradicating all sense of offense." Hopefully none of you believe a word of that drivel spouted by innumerable media outlets, journalists, educators, and politicians all across our God-blessed land. There have always been lies and liars in this world when Satan and that the serpent deceived Eve, who convinced husband Adam that though God had said no, it made more sense, really, that God would want us to be more like him, and eating that forbidden fruit would do just that. Conveniently forgetting the consequence God warned them of, something about dying, which the serpent poo-pooed as not worth mentioning, they ate and instantly discovered that they'd been scammed. Not only that, their life felt different, fragile, ephemeral, fleeting, decaying. Never before had they felt such feelings. They'd never given a thought to life before. They just were. They were alive and would be forever. There was no end, just a beginning, just like God, though he never began, since he always was and is. But for them, not anymore. In today's joke, the new recruits mobbed the insurance application lines because they thought being insured would give them a better chance of surviving deployment to a conflict zone. But take a look at God's insurance plan as he laid out its terms in Deuteronomy 7. God's people, the Israelites, are clearly an army, a fighting force. God has promised a land all their own, but they would have to fight for every inch of it. They were literally to commit genocide, that is, kill off all the current inhabitants. Frankly, that sounds awful, bloodthirsty, cruel even. So why? Because these people were no longer fully human. They all carried contaminated, corrupted, degraded DNA, unable to be purified because the people had turned so fully away from God, their original creator, that they no longer even remembered who he was or that he even existed. They were solely devoted to their false gods, the evil beings that had corrupted them centuries ago, all in the attempt to prevent the birth of the seed of the woman, which God had pronounced in Genesis 3:15 to Eve, Adam, and the serpent in the Garden of Eden. God had said the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, meaning kill him. And so ever since, the devil and his angels have schemed, conspired, and brainstormed to devise plan after plan to save themselves from God's intention to exterminate them for their rebellion in the ages before God made man. God had made man to be the administrators of this planet Earth. He purposely gave us dominion over all things on Earth. Walking hand in hand with him, Adam and Eve would have had a swimmingly easy go of it on this earth. But no, they blew it and joined Satan's rebellion, making themselves enemies of God. God had to discipline them to put them back on the right path. But the journey to complete restoration, salvation, would be a long one and a long time coming. But it would be perfect and ultimately come as a complete surprise to all the rebel angels. Skipping over eons of history, in Deuteronomy 7, Moses is reminding the people of the instructions on how to be God's physical human army to enforce his rule on this physical earth. Because he will go with them under Joshua's leadership, none of the peoples will be able to resist them, despite their vast numerical military home turf advantages. The Hebrews were few, smallest of all nations, insignificant, paltry people in comparison. But this was all on purpose, for with God all it takes is one person. What does God's word say? Deuteronomy 32:30 declares one person chase 1,000 of them, and two people put 10,000 to flight. Pretty good odds those are when God is with us and has prepared the way. Clearly, it's not by the Israelites' own strength or our strength that anything for God's kingdom on earth succeeds. It's only by his power working in us as we follow Holy Spirit's lead. And then God can proudly show us off to all the rebel angels. With his power, we will have put all of them under Christ Jesus, our Lord and Commander-in-Chief's feet. Mere humans defeating mighty rebel angels as God himself puts Satan the serpent in chains, casting him into the lake of fire, where he belongs and so richly deserves to go. So, if this all new generation of Hebrews will obey God and take over the land gradually and methodically as God directs, then Deuteronomy 7:12 through 15 promises some truly incredible blessings. If you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you, as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. He will give fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine and olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. How good is that? No sickness. Looks like we're approaching the blessings of heaven right there. And there, we're still on earth. Well, the Bible records what later happened. Joshua and the Israelites were conned by some of the peoples they were supposed to exterminate. Failing to consistently pray for God's guidance, they were never able to completely finish their job. As God had warned in Deuteronomy 7:4, they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. Again, this sounds harsh until you realize that by turning from God to worship other gods, they join the enemy. They become the enemy. Consider how disappointed God was at those who rebelled. Remember how that first generation who had witnessed the stupendous miracles in Egypt that God wrought to liberate them from slavery balked when he ordered them to enter the promised land. That first generation then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. They were not worthy to enter God's promised rest. But for those who remain faithful, God keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. That's like 40,000 years. Forever. So what about us? Are we standing up for Jesus? We must not live our lives trying to be incognito. Doing so makes us no better than the rebels. In political terms, we're no better than rhinos, fake Christians. Worse yet, we know many people who've become apostate Christians, which means they're not Christians anymore. Still, pray for them, that they may see the error of their ways, turn back to the Lord, and be truly saved. Pray for yourself, that you will be found faithful and loyal to your captain, Savior, and Lord. For such is the blessing of battling for earth, for life. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that in these last days you are opening up to us the great truths of this world and this universe in which we live that for centuries have been hidden from us, since I guess we didn't really need to know them, but we need to know now. So thank you for opening up all of this knowledge again to us, that we may know what we are truly up against, what we are doing for you and with you. Help us to truly stand up for Jesus boldly. For his sake we pray. Amen.